Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 76 of Feel Good Friday, FGF 76, the summer of 76. Just like Dazed and Confused, that was the year that it was set, and it was actually released in the 90s, though. Just a little factoid for you. And in case you don't know what I'm talking about, in case you don't know what Dazed and Confused is, do yourself a favor, check it out. It's still to this day one of my favorite movies. My good buddy Justin Vayner was the one that introduced me to it. I watched it at his house. It was an R-rated movie, and I thought like I was like, you know, doing this really cool thing by watching an R-rated movie because we were in grade school, and I loved it then. I love it now. It's a beautiful thing. It's just a really good time. It's just the events of one day. It's the last day of school. It follows middle schoolers, like junior high, high schoolers, and there's a couple college people in as well. There's adult, you know, it's just a cool, cool movie. Great soundtrack, great acting. Some amazing actors came from it, like Matthew McConaughey, Ben Affleck, Mia Jovovich, all that. So give it a shot if you have not. Dazed and Confused, fantastic movie, 76. Let's go, baby. We got a great guest on today, comedian Matthew Bellick. It's actually, you know, he goes by Matt, but anyway, I don't know what I was getting at there. Just kind of, sometimes I'm talking and then I say something that I think is something that should throw me and then I overthink and I'm fucked. Anyway, now we're here. Matt Bellick, great comedian. He's actually from Chicago and I made sure that I was pronouncing his name right. It's Matthew Bellick. It's B-E-L-L-A-K. So I thought it was like Bellock, like it's like some Lord of the Rings shit. I think I actually remember that from South Park, the Lord of the Rings episode of South Park. Lord of the Two Towers of the King or something like that. It's a great episode, but there's a part when Cartman has to like open a door and he just goes, Bellock. So that's where my mind went to. Yeah. A lot of references up there that can set, you know, get set off at any moment, you know, just one word. So Bellock was what did it for me. Anyway, Matt Bellick, great comedian from Chicago, lives in Austin now, but he's got great material. So definitely check him out on all the Instagrams, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. So strap in for that. I will warn you, though, there are several moments, and by several, I mean two, where I lost connection during the interview. During the fucking interview, it was so goddamn embarrassing. I'm trying to be professional, you know? I get it. I'll sneeze, I'll burp on the podcast, the dogs will bark, Finn will cry, whatever. So it's not like the most professional shit ever. I'm not in the studio, I'm doing this off my phone. This is very laid back, but I take a little bit of pride in my interviews. Like I try to conduct myself like I kind of know what I'm doing, you know, at least a little bit. That's just life in general, but especially with the podcast. And I felt so bad for Matt because the interview cut out twice, lost connection twice. I don't know what's going on with T-Mobile today, but T-Mobile is fucking me hard and I'm not having it. They didn't give me a cigarette after. They didn't use any protection. They didn't take me out to dinner beforehand. No whining, no dining. They just fucked me. The streaming services have been going on all day. So I was watching Bluey with Finn. Boom, lost connection. He's like, wait, what happened to Bluey? And he didn't say that because he's not using his words yet. But that's basically what he said with his eyes and mouth and vocal cords. So they're really upset. And then I tried to watch a little bit of Succession when Finn was napping after the interview. And that kept cutting out. And it's just a day. And then I went to go get a Happy Meal for Finn to cheer him up. They forgot the barbecue sauce. And they put everything fucking in the little goddamn Happy Meal box like upside down. So I opened it and it was just fries. Like they weren't even in the little fry container. Two of the nuggets were out of their container. It was a stupid toy. I'm over the Marvels, but I think that's going to be here until that movie comes out. And I don't know when it comes out. I thought it came out in like November or some shit, but I guess it's coming up soon. We'll see. Now look, I know what I'm complaining about is very first world problems, like not rich people problems, but definitely white people problems. Like if all I have to worry about is some bad Wi-Fi connection for a day and McDonald's being reckless with the Happy Meal for my pride and joy, Finnegan. Life is okay. But it's just these little minor inconveniences that's like, all right, now I have to go unplug the modem, wait 10 seconds or 15 seconds or however long, plug it back in, and then go back to the couch. And now that I'm saying it out loud, I sound like such a spoiled piece of shit. And I am sorry that I'm complaining so much. I don't like complaining, trust me. But I just wanted to warn you basically that there are two points throughout the interview where I had to cut off, because I ended up recording both times after I lost the connection. It's just me going, shit, are you there? Matt, are you there? What the fuck? God damn it, T-Mobile. And then, you know, so I don't want that on the podcast. So I cut that out for a slight sense of professionalism. But you may be able to tell when the interview cuts out. Again, 2 points that it happens. If you can catch it, text me, let me know, see if you got it. And I will buy you a beer next time I see you, unless you live in another country, because I do have listeners in other countries still. It's still a thing, in which case I probably cannot buy you a beer because you live in another country. So that'll be hard to do, you know? Maybe I could Venmo you, but anyway. So just wanted to give you a heads up. T-Mobile, not happy with it today. Not happy with T-Mobile. I pay $50 a month for this shit. I expect it to work, and it was not working today. I don't know it was a perfect day outside. It was a little hot, but I mean, hot, like the heat wouldn't fuck up the wire, at least not that I know of. Again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the brightest star in the sky. I'm not the wettest noodle in the spaghetti. That's a weird one. I don't know why I went there. But yeah, I don't know how it works, but today was a bad day for it. I still didn't call T-Mobile and get it figured out. Maybe I should have. Maybe I should have shown more, you know, more caring, more care. Like, maybe I should have cared about it a little bit more and, like, took action and, like, called T-Mobile and said, hey, stop fucking me. Or at least take me out to dinner first. Chili's. It's my birthday month. Take me to Chili's. Get me some Texas cheese fries, some boneless buffalo wings, and some endless margaritas or bottomless margaritas. I don't know if that's a thing, but God damn it, it fucking should be. And actually, you know what? No, T-Mobile, it's on your tab. So today, for me, it is bottomless margaritas. Should have said that, but I didn't. I actually just went on about my day. Just kept resetting the modem like a dum-dum. Like another pawn in the whole scheme of the government. God, I don't know what I'm saying. Like, anytime I try to get serious, I end up sounding pretty dumb. So let's dial that back a little. Anyway, great interview with Matt Bellick. Bellick. See, now I'm saying Bellock. Great interview with Matt Bellick. Nonetheless, even though there's the two points, but where it stops. But still, he's a great guy. He was super, super cool about it and about the breaking up. We didn't break up. We weren't a couple. We never were a couple. We just started talking the other day. That'd be really fast. And also, I don't play for that team, if you know what I mean. And I don't think he does either. So that's not what I meant. He was super cool about the connection issues and having to stop twice. I had to set up 2 new meetings that we had to, like, I had to make it, schedule it on Zoom, invite him. And then he had to rejoin again. Very white people problems. I know I sound like a bitch right now, but, it was just a bit of a hassle, and he kept his cool during all of it. He was super nice, super understanding. And he maintained the funniness throughout. So big shout out to Matt Bellick. I appreciate you. I love our interview. And it was really cool talking to you. Now you guys get to experience how cool he is. All right. Episode 76. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 76 of Feel Good Friday. Got a very special guest on today, comedian Matt Bellick. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, dude.
Yeah. So we bonded right away because you're from Chicago originally, and now you're in Austin. But we talked about the Bears. Before we get into your comedy, we're going to talk about your comedy. What do you think about this upcoming season?
I have so many thoughts. I mean, like, dude, it's a little nerve-wracking because it's just such, like, I feel like there's so much on the line for this year. Like, I'm not saying we have to make the playoffs. Right. Like, if we don't see, like, Justin Fields take that next step,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, all right, what do we have in him? Are they going to start over? It's like, yeah. It's a lot. But I think he's going to. I mean, I've been watching a lot of, like, it's so hard to go with, like, information you get at a training camp because it seems like it's always biased.
Right.
But, like, it seems like, especially with Chase Claypool's kind of getting back in the mix, Mooney's healthy, and it seems like DJ Moore, like, they're clicking. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, he's got the weapons. I actually, I really believe in the running backs, the Khalil Herbert and Deonta Foreman. I don't know. So, there's, granted, it's not like, you know, the best weapons out there. It's not like Justin Jefferson and AJ Brown, but it's a solid group of people to throw to and hand off to. So yeah, I think this is a big year for him. This is the make or break.
It's yeah, he's got the weapons. I mean, Herbert, we saw last year, Herbert has, he's got like huge burst power, speed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Apparently this Roshon Johnson kid is looking really good, especially as like a passing option out of the backfield.
Right.
Apparently he's looking like really good in that respect. So you kind of have like a bit of a three-headed monster there. And then Deonta Foreman, if you look, I think when did Christian McCaffrey leave? Like what week? It was like mid-season he left.
Yeah, it was.
And then Foreman took over.
Yeah.
He rushed for like almost 900 yards, I think, in like 8 weeks or something like
right.
that.
Right.
You know, he looked pretty good.
It was one of those weird things where Christian McCaffrey, arguably the best running back in the NFL, left. And then their running game got better. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not nervous because I'm kind of going in with low expectations, but at the same time, I do have that like, all right, he's got to do it this year, or else like we're shopping for another one. But
I think the defense still has a long way to go. The defensive line is still a little. I mean, I'm hearing stuff like this: Jervon Dexter kid looks good. It's been two padded practices, but we'll see. But the D line, I think our specifically edge rush, obviously the D line, I think is still probably the weakest part of the team.
Yeah.
And then we'll see secondary-wise. I mean, we're putting Kyler Gordon back in the slot, which is where he's a little happier. This kid, Tyreek Stevenson's a rookie, and it looks like he's going to be the other outside guy. So I'm just hoping he doesn't get fucking torched in some games. You know, like, so.
Yeah.
But, again, we don't need to make the playoffs or anything crazy, but, like, the defense still has a little way to go. But if we're competitive in games and we're losing, you know, 31-27, we're putting points up and it's looking like we have something to build on, I'll be happy. But if it's like last year, it's like,
I know. I've been talking to people, and a lot of people are saying, like, oh, there's nowhere to go but up. I'm like, we won three games. We could still lose more games than that. Or, I'm sorry, we could still win less than that, I should say.
I hope not, dude.
Yeah, no, I didn't like being referred to constantly as, like, all right, so they're playing Chicago next week. They're gonna win that game. Like, it's just so embarrassing, you know?
But if we can just see, like, the arrows trending up next year. Hopefully the Panthers can kind of tank a little bit, but then we get like two good first round picks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like there's still hope, but if Justin's just passing for 170 yards a game again,
I get that.
It's like you gotta throw the ball in this league.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I love Jack One. I hope it works out, but like if you're not slinging it, it's
Right. I'm sorry to bring football up right away. It's just technically it comes back tonight. There's the Hall of Fame game, the Jets and Browns. Is football the only sport you're into? Or you like them all? Like you like basketball and hockey? And
I watch all sports. I keep up with all Chicago sports, but it's not even close. It's like football is like I'm obsessed with football.
It's
really sad. I'm in like fantasy leagues, all I talk about for like 6 months a year.
Yeah.
I played baseball in high school. I'm a pretty big Cubs fan. I think that would be maybe number two.
Okay.
I keep up with the Cubs. And then like the Bulls and the Blackhawks, I keep up with, and they start making like playoffs and stuff, I'll jump in like a
bandwagon guy. But I got you. Football's number one.
Football's everything. It's sad.
Yeah, I got the fantasy football like index magazine like a month ago. Our draft is until the end of this month, but I'm like, all right, I gotta get ready. So yeah, I'm definitely football number one.
My girl hates it. I've been talking. It's already started like last couple of weeks. It's the only thing.
Yeah.
Like I walk in the house, I'm talking to like my brother or one of my buddies about football, and
yeah,
She's like, "Hey, can we do something?" I'm like,
Just give me a second. Just give me a second.
I'm gonna
That's
need your
fine.
graphics. Shit, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm same way. Like, you'll hear the little like ESPN notification go off. I'm doing another mock draft. She's like, "All right, I'm just gonna go. You know, I'll give you a minute." Yeah.
Best though.
It is. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I was talking to, there's another comedian on last week, Connor Carter, and he kind of kept up with basketball, but not really football. He's from Houston, so that's understandable. You know, it's Houston, the Texans, gross. But
So good.
part of me was like a little envious that I, because I care about it so much that it will fucking ruin my day sometimes, and I hate when
Man,
that
I'm talking about
happens.
me.
You know?
Talking to my brother, dude. We haven't seen him. So like when the Bears win, that's the happiest I ever am in my life. It's really
Right.
sad, but the I think it was like last October or something. It was when we played the Patriots. That's the last time we won, dude.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since it's like 10 months since I've seen a Bears win. So like it's we gotta go out there. What do you think week one? Do you think we're gonna do it?
I hope
It's
so
here.
because my other thing is if the Bears aren't good, I just hope the Packers aren't good either. That's
Right.
like
But
that's my second.
this is the most confident I've felt going into a Bears-Packers game, maybe in my life,
In a
because
while,
there's no
yeah.
Rodgers, there's no Favre. I mean, the first time, maybe this Jordan Love guy can suck. He'll probably be a Hall of Famer, but maybe it's the play of my fucking life. But yeah, maybe.
Well, I'm glad that you stuck with your Chicago fandom, even though you moved. But
Thank you.
yeah, so anyway, let's get into it. You're a stand-up comedian. I came across the clip that got me in was the what you thought was competitive rock, paper, scissors. And is that your biggest clip? Is that the viral
That
one?
one, it was the one that took off the most. It got like 2.2 million. I've never had, I think
Yeah.
the most I had was like a 50,000er before that or something. But yeah, they that one just took off. It's weird how the internet works. I don't know how any of this shit works, but they just put the fucking clips up. It's weird. So I started comedy. None of this was. Yeah, it was just go write jokes to go do comedy. All this fucking Instagram and the social media and all that stuff. It wasn't like we had Facebook. I started shit 11 years ago, dude. So like Facebook was a thing, but like it wasn't, didn't have any of this real shit. And you just use it to like promote shows, kind of. It wasn't like, you weren't like, oh, I'm gonna get famous overnight by fucking clipping shit up. You know, like it's crazy. So it took me a while to, I was like a scared old man. I was like, no, just do jokes in the fucking basement. That's what I'm used to, you know, like, but, crazy. It's a double-edged sword. I think some of it kind of sucks. I think it kind of trains like low attention spans and things like that. But as a comedian, it is crazy because I mean, you could potentially reach fucking hundreds of millions of people, you know. So
Yeah,
it's pretty
definitely.
crazy.
That joke is, to me, it's perfect. Like, everything about it is perfect. Like, the lead up to it, where people almost think the punchline is competitive rock, paper, scissors, and then you're like, nope, it's two deaf guys on cocaine. And it's
Yeah,
just
so that,
like, and then the faces you
so
make when
that,
you're, oh, it's great.
well, that joke, I mean, just a little behind the curtain. So the way that joke came about, I was actually sitting in a bar, and there was two deaf. There's like a deaf couple. They're like in their fucking 60s, and there's these two deaf people, and they were arguing with each other. They were like fucking, they were hammered, but they're getting in like what we would like a screaming fight, like any other person would do. But it looked hilarious because they're just aggressively fucking signing at each other. So like I laughed at that, and then I thought to myself, I was like, "What?" I go, "Can you imagine?" My buddies and me, I'm like, "Can you imagine two deaf kids on coke? That'd be wild. That'd be even crazier." Just, and then I had to like, so I was originally gonna write the joke. It's just like a one of those just like non sequitur thoughts, like, "Can you imagine deaf guy on coke?" But I usually like jokes to have like a start, middle, and I don't really like make a lot of things up in the act. Mostly it's true stories, but like in that scenario, I was like, I just gotta find a way to put this funny thought in there. So I just thought, like, what if I walk into a party? Because I was at a bar, I'm like, what if I walk in a house party? And instead of two, you know, but I was like, how do I get into the thing? I go, like, oh, looks like, because I thought, I'm like, it looks like they were the most, that's the thing I said to my friend. I'm like, it looks like they were the most intense rock, paper, scissors match of all time. Like the couple they're fighting. So I kind of took all those elements and just made the joke, you know, but.
Got you. So speaking of, you know, the joke and comedy in general, who were some of your influences when you like who did you watch and you were like, all right, shit, that's what I want to do. Like that's
So like from day one, always has been, always will be, my favorite comedian of all time is Dave Chappelle.
Okay, Dave Chappelle. Nice. I like that.
thing about like Chappelle was, because he was like the first real dirty comic I heard. Because his, we said Kill Him Softly, it was like around 2000 when it came out. Mm-hmm. I was young, dude. I was in like middle school. And I'd always watched like Seinfeld. It was like just the show Seinfeld was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And I remember liking stand-up because like, Jerry would like open and close little stand-up bits, but they're kind of cornier. And I remember when Kill Him Softly came out, I saw it. It was the first time I just like howled laughing from start to fucking finish. And I was kind of obsessed with that special. And then, so I guess, but it's weird because Dave, inspiration for sure. But like, I mean, I'm zero like Dave Chappelle. I mean, comedy's nothing like his at all.
Okay. So you said you saw Killing Him Softly when you were young. Were you like going around middle school, like quoting bits from that? Cause I know I got like the Eminem show when I was in second grade and I went to like Catholic school, little like chubby white kid with a uniform on, and I'm just going around rapping Eminem in second grade. Were you quoting bits from Dave Chappelle and all that when you were younger?
Literally, so yeah. I mean, like you nailed that. So I saw Killing Him Softly. I don't even know how many times, and like I knew it like almost word for word. And then like, So we stood at the lunch table, and like it wasn't like I was taking credit for it. My friends would be like, "Hey, tell us that Dave Chappelle joke," and I would just like do the bit.
Okay.
And they'd all fucking die because like. Dude, me and my friends, we were obsessed with it. We were obsessed with that special. The whole, everything. We walk around quoting all the Sesame Street jokes. And the, you're on 3rd Street. And like, all this crazy. But that, I mean, I still think to this day, that's one of the better hours
ever, dude. Kill Him Softly, yeah, that's definitely one of the greatest specials of all time. It's probably on my Mount Rushmore of specials in general. Like, I don't know if Dave Chappelle is on my Mount Rushmore of comedians, but... definitely Killing Him Softly is up there as one of the greatest specials of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Who's your
number one? You a Louis guy?
As in, like, just favorite comedian?
Sure.
So, total honesty, it does change a lot. Like, there are days when I just want to listen to, like, Steve Martin and his classic kind of goofy humor. There are days when I want to see Big J do crowd work. There are days when I want to, see the kind of whatever the word is for George Carlin, something like that. So it changes a lot. But I would say someone that I always come back to and consistently makes me laugh actually is Tom Segura.
Yeah.
I know it, like, if we're talking about greatest comedians of all time, it's hard to like say someone who isn't like one of the Richard Pryors or Robin Williams or all that, but Tom Segura has consistently made me laugh since he started, came onto the scene. And then TJ Miller is another one that's up there.
TJ rules, yeah.
Yeah. So another titan of comedy that you're actually familiar with, explain your relationship with Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, so I used to open for Bert a lot back in the day. This is when I was pretty new into comedy, man. I kind of just gotten started. I think I was maybe like 2 years in, 3 years in at this point with him. And I would open an MC.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you'd come down to Florida and stuff like that, that's where I was living at the time. He's a partier, dude. He's wild. So like, and this is, it's honestly, but it's in like the craziest way. Like he truly would like to just fucking hang in. Like fans would come and want to do shots after the show. He literally is the machine. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's like everything as advertised.
Yeah. Was it difficult to like keep up with him when you guys were partying after the shows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good at getting fucked up too, but there was one time I remember we were doing the Fort Lauderdale Improv, and they have a they have a thing called Wet Willies, which is attached to it that the club owns, and it's like this, they're like alcoholic like slushies. Like, you've seen these places where they all got different flavors, and it's alcoholic slushies. So I was pretty broke at the time, dude. I was emceeing, and like just to fuck me, Bert's like, "Hey man, I'll buy you. You want after the show? Let's go over here over Wet Willies. I'll buy drinks."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. And they have one called the Call a Cab. It's like the strongest one they got.
Yeah.
And it's just all these fucking awful. Like, bottom shelf liquors and, like, a slushy, dude. And they sell it in, like, one of them, like, yard-long fucking... or something that was, like, skinny, like, those yardstick things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all sugary and, like, fucking face gets all blue after, you know? So, but I, so he's like, all right, you got a drink? He's like, yeah, I'll buy you a drink, but it's got to be one of these. I'm like, bro, I just want a fucking beer. Dude. I don't want to do the weird slushy. He goes, well, I'll buy you a drink. It's got to be this fucking thing. So I'm like, all right, I'll take it. And I sat there and drank this whole fucking disgusting drink. And he was just shitting himself laughing the whole time. But, like, it was fun, like in a good way. Like,
yeah.
It sounds like bully, but it was funny. Like,
right.
We, yeah, dude. We, and there was a guy, Matt Fultron, who would feature for him a lot. So the three of us were kind of like a little dynamic duo. We'd run around. He was, Matt's a fucking great comic, too. He lives in New York now.
Oh, I remember Fultron. I remember his Comedy Central Presents, the half hour. Really, yeah, like, kind of slow talking, like, laid back voice, kind of.
Super, yeah, yeah. Very funny guy. Good buddy of mine. He's, yeah, he's in Brooklyn now, living in New York. He actually, he might be moving out to Austin, so.
Okay. Yeah, he had one of the, in that half hour, I remember his, when God closes a door, I open a beer. And I don't know why that quote stuck with me. It's, it's good. I love it. But so you're buddies with him too? Or
yeah.
That's cool. That's cool, man. I love that. I noticed a lot of your videos are roast battles. Explain to me the art of a good roast.
Yeah, so I was never a big roast guy. literally think I've done my first roast battle. I mean, I've done a couple like in Chicago and, in Florida. I did one when I was living in LA.
Yeah,
but they were more just like bar show kind of things. But it wasn't really like, I was always fairly good. I just, I don't know, I didn't like it. There's something about putting all this work into to writing these jokes, and then as soon as it's over, it's done. It's over. Like, you can't. But I don't know. I've grown to they're fun, at least. I kind of just got over them. I'm like, they're fun, like, in the moment. Like, it's a good. Like, they're fun. So, Austin's, it's a big roast scene down here, dude. Like, there's a lot of roast battle shows. I mean, there's literally, like, multiple a week. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah. And they do it at the Fat Man at the Mothership now. So, and those ones, I've been on a couple of those in there. And those, the energy for those shows is crazy. It's so much fun. So,
yeah.
Yeah, just keep roasting, doing okay, and they keep asking me back.
Have you ever written a roast style joke that, you wrote it, you look at it, you kind of say it, and you're like, fuck, that might be too far. Have you ever gone too far?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the thing about a roast is, you know, God, the energy. If you've been to one live, like, it's roast battle, especially the ones that, like, when Brian Moses and, like, the official, like, roast battle crew come to town, dude, it's, they want, I mean, dude, they don't want you to be toting the PC level. Like, you're supposed to go pretty hard, but even still, yeah, there's some. Honestly, sometimes it's like, if I don't care about, like, saying a word per se or something like that, but, like, sometimes I'll think of one, because we exchange information on each other, like, you and the guy you're going to roast.
Right.
Especially, you know, so you're like, hey, man, here's, like, 10 little things about me, here's 10 little things, and then they'll give you 10 things back. And the idea is, in good fun, because you want a good roast. So the idea is everyone's supposed to. Hey, man, if something fucking crazy or fucked up happened, if you have this crazy shortcoming, tell them about it. Maybe they can make a killer joke out of it. So, but sometimes guys will send you, it's just like sad stuff. They'll just, like, send you, they're like, yeah, my fucking, you know, mom, like, kidnapped my sister when we were young, and then my mom killed herself. And I'm like, all right, I just, so, like, you try to write a joke about that, and you're halfway through, you're like, this is just nothing funny about this.
Right.
and honestly, the reality of roast jokes is the more you can just make it surface level and simple, the easier it is for the audience to get, and they laugh. It just looks like jokes are the fucking best roast jokes, just because everyone can see it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, as far as roasting goes, there's no, because stand-up in general, I think you can take notes, you can learn from others, but, like, roasting, you can watch all the Jeff Ross that you want, but you gotta, there's got to be something inside of you that comes up with those jokes on your own. Like, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but, like, I just think roasting, you either got it or you don't.
Yeah, for me, it goes back to just, like when I grew up in high school, like, me and my friends, we just, that's all we did, dude.
Yeah.
We just fucking made fun of each other, dude. Like, you know, it, God forbid someone got a fucking bad haircut or just, I'm stupid. I mean, it'd be the whole day. We'd all just sit around just fucking running.
Yeah.
So I kind of just had like maybe I don't know, I had that muscle trained a little bit, and then you kind of learn like what works in roast jokes. Like I said, looks like stuff, puns.
Yeah.
These things aren't necessarily high level genius, you know, thought processes, but it's one style of creativity. You know? So I mean, but they are fun. It's weird because in comedy now it's a silly art form, but there's so much like serious now.
Yeah.
Comedy. So for the roast is fun because it's literally there's. It's just, it's dumb. It's supposed to be dumb. It's made to be dumb. It's just make fun of some kind of shit. So,
right.
It's a fun little break, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I get that, the seriousness in comedy. I feel like a lot of the times there's supposed to be like a message or something involved. Like, Gary Goldman. I love Gary Goldman. He might be on my Mount Rushmore, if I'm being honest. Like, he's another one that has consistently made me laugh. And then he had that whole special, The Great Depression. And that got really deep at times, real.
He's such an insightful guy. Gary Goldman absolutely fucking rules.
Yeah.
Literally one of my favorite jokes of all time, one that I'll quote all the time, is that when he was on whatever late night it was,
mm-hmm.
it does the abbreviations thing. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah. Isn't it the documentary about abbreviating the states or something? Like, yeah.
That's so fucking good.
Yeah.
I just love it. But he's so silly. Like, he'll just have these dumb things packed in there. Like he's like, and the Dottie comes in. And she says, "Listen, to Dottie, this is." It's like just so stupid.
Yeah. Have you? So he's for the most part he's clean comedy. Have you ever tried? I guess not tried, but like if you had to do a clean show, like if you were getting booked somewhere and they're like, "All right, you get 30 minutes, but keep it clean." Are you capable of doing that, or is your? Because I feel like you're one of those that like. The curse has just come out naturally, you know. So
yeah, well, I have like a real potty mouth. I just the way I talk in general. It's honestly. I wish it wasn't. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I believe words are just words, dude.
Yeah.
Relax, you know. But
right.
I do have a potty mouth. I just talk that way, so I can do clean comedy. I've done clean comedy, always for pay. I don't enjoy it as much. I just don't like having any kind of like feel like I have any kind of handcuffs or restrictions on like. I can understand but here's the thing. I understand why they have the need for it, I guess. Like, it's like, okay, so it's like a company thing. They hired a comedian, so you gotta, like, you can't say certain things. I get it, but here's my advice. Don't hire comedians for, like, corporate fucking functions. Like,
right.
I mean, it's great because they always pay great, so I shouldn't say it because I know a lot of comics make a lot of money doing it, but, like, it's just, it's so silly. If you're like, hey, we want comedy in our function, then just you got to realize that you employ adults and they can hear some words, man.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I've done it before just because it's the stupidest thing. I don't know why, but clean comedy just pays so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they force you to be clean, it's usually like a corporate gig and the money's okay. So you do it and you can do like, yeah, so you just absolutely don't swear. And there's certain jokes that I just can't do, you know, if it's the subject matter, but like,
right.
For the most part, I mean, also, clean is weird because clean usually almost just means like don't curse, dude. Because like if you look at like if you want to pretend like an ABC show right now, like they make like sex innuendos, they make drug references, like TV clean. TV's got so yeah, it almost just means don't curse, but yeah, it's stupid. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, you know, even something as simple as saying like words are just words. I'm definitely in that same boat. You know, I've had people that they'll swear, like if I meet a new coworker and they'll curse in front of me and they'll be like, sorry, I curse a lot. I'm like, don't apologize. It's just words, you know, but you know, society, they put the label on them. So they're special words. But.
Yeah. Words are, and when I say that also, like, yeah, if you're going to use your words to like, say horrible like you know racist things or
right
if you're trying to hurt people then they're not just words but like I'm saying like just the actual word fuck like why that shouldn't matter it's a word it's just a mouth noise dude fuck shit whatever like who cares?
Right. Yeah no definitely I should have clarified there are like obviously if you're using your words for hate speech
well,
and all
it's
that
funny.
It's like yeah
two white guys start going hey words are words and then it's like you know it's good.
Right yeah one thing leads to another but I get I totally understand where you're coming from, and hopefully you understand where I'm coming from. But yeah.
Yeah, I just, and again, but that, another thing in comedy too, with like just quote unquote offensive jokes, like you can push the envelope. You can make, I was talking about the difference between a racial and a racist joke. There's a difference between a joke about how men and women are different, and there's a completely misogynistic joke. You know, like,
yeah,
like I think we're forgetting like a slight nuance of like you can usually tell people's intentions of what they're meaning to say, you know, based on just, you know, I mean, obviously subcontext and just, you know, who they are, their demeanor, but like, so mm-hmm. You can't just be like, he said this word, so we take everything out of context and go, oh, he's a sexist, or he's, or, like, you can make, like, for example, like Kill Tony's a big thing here.
Yeah.
You know, just going back to Kill Tony and even roast battles, right? A lot of those roast jokes, if you're roasting a guy who's like Asian, you're gonna make like Asian jokes, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're roasting a fat girl, you're still gonna make like fat girl jokes, you know. Right. So these are things, like if you did it in like a joke, like a stand-up bit, people would be like, dude, this is horrible, like,
yeah,
he's so misogynistic and racist. But like, then you love watching a Kill Tony episode, you watch a roast battle, you can make racial jokes, you know. So I don't know, I just wish people weren't so sensitive all the time. It's like, you gotta look at context and intentions, you know.
Right. Yeah, at least when it comes to comedy, maybe take a step back and chill out a bit, because it is for the sake of trying to make people laugh. And, you know, obviously it's not going to happen all the time. Comedians bomb all the time. And, you know, like you said, things get taken out of context. But I think at least for stand-up comedy, we should dial it back a little bit and just kind of try to see that.
I mean, it goes too, like, even like with subject matter, like even if you, just to get off like specifically like being right, because that's usually an easy thing to pick out if someone's being, but like,
yeah,
people say like certain jokes aren't, you can't make certain jokes. People get mad if like when people were making those jokes about like those, the five guys in the submarine, yeah, or like when a school shooting happens, comics will make jokes, whatever. And people like, oh, you can't make jokes about that. Like, this specific topic is just off limits. And it's like, I don't know, dude, it's not a TED talk. Right. It's a fucking comedy joke. Like,
right.
Like the idea of the word inappropriate joke is so funny to me, because the second word is joke. Like, yeah, completely null and voids it being inappropriate. It's a fucking joke. Right. Like, no one's taking it serious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely. So, actually, speaking of jokes that might be made due to recent events, you got any Lizzo jokes in the works based off what just happened with her?
I don't even know what happened to Lizzo. You're breaking this to me for the first time.
Oh, man. I saw a comedian, oh my God, I'm going to get his name wrong, but I think it's Tyrell Collum or something like that.
William Tyrell, the Irish guy, he's great.
Yeah. He already got a joke about it. Lizzo is getting sued, allegations of some kind of like sexual harassment type of thing. I guess they were in Europe and there was a live sex show, and it was one of those weird ones where, like, you know, it's like a ping pong ball getting shot out of a, yeah. And there was one where the girl had a banana in her vagina, and Lizzo made one of her dancers eat the banana, and the dancer didn't want to do it, and Lizzo was like, no, eat the banana, and kind of forced her to eat the banana. So she's getting a lot of shit for that right now.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I didn't know, like, I guess I asked that because I wanted to know, do you just go based off your own experiences, or do you see things in the news and you're like, all right, I can make jokes from that?
Yeah, it's fun. I should probably do a little more of that topical stuff. People like it. I just, for me, like, I typically just write off like my own experiences or observations, because I just, you know, here's the thing. You write a Lizzo joke about like this specific incident. We live in such a 24-hour news cycle, like, literally, dude, a month later, like, no one cares about the joke anymore, really, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're not spending a lot of time, like, you know, you're not sitting down spending hours a day trying to perfect this perfect Lizzo joke, like, if it's just something that comes to you, yeah, mm-hmm. Do the joke.
Yeah.
But I don't, with topical stuff, I try not to, like, I don't spend too much time. If something just comes to me, I'm like, oh, that's fucking funny, yeah.
Yeah.
But they got shelf lives, you know, so.
I got you.
My buddy has a Lizzo joke. It would just be like, used to talk about, he took a girl to a Lizzo concert and she wanted to get a t-shirt. and they didn't have her size because the only sizes they had were what was it? Queen, Queen, Brave, and Double Extra Brave.
Double Extra Brave. Yeah.
No joke, but dude, I love the joke. Nobody, like, when he does it in front of crowds, they just, they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're making fun of being fat, I guess. But I think it's just, people forget. Like, I'm like, it's a creative way to be funny.
Right.
Double Extra Brave is funny. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have any jokes that get that reaction out of the people? I know. I went through your stuff and there's a good mix. There's, you know, there's the stuff about the guy who get the clam chowder for the girl at the bar, and then obviously the deaf guy's on cocaine, and you have so much material. Do you have any that draw that kind of reaction? The gasps or the oh yeah.
Yeah, I remember I wrote I just stopped telling this one pretty quick. It's well, and you know, it was a joke about I got it a watching a Steelers playoff game with my friend.
Okay.
And he'd never seen a football game before, and the announcers kept calling Ben Roethlisberger Big Ben. They kept referring to him as Big Ben. That was his nickname.
Yeah.
And then my buddy goes, hey, do they call him Big Ben because he has a big dick? I go, oh, you don't know anything about Ben Roethlisberger. He's actually an accused rapist, so it doesn't really matter how big his dick is. It probably feels huge every time.
Oh, God.
Nobody's in the middle of a rape and starts dick shaming. Like, is it in yet, little guy? So, that was yeah, it's not, I mean, it's pretty fucked up, Chuck. But
right.
And it's not even that funny. But, yeah, every time I would tell that one, you learn pretty quick. You're like, all right, they don't like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scratch that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, and that AFC North, that just, Big Ben passed on the baton to Deshaun Watson, and now there's always something going on in that division.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
So.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, you're very surprised. Yeah. I don't even remember what.
Deshaun?
I know what he did, but I never like got into the details. I just read like little headlines, and like I don't know any of the actual details of what he did. He would get massages and kind of like force them to jerk him off. Is that what he would do?
Pretty much. Yeah, that's the extent that I know of it, honestly. But apparently, it was like over 20 women. Though.
Oh, no, sure, yeah. It's fucking weird. So. I mean, that's a weird one. Because, like, you're Deshaun Watson. You can just go get laid.
Right.
It's a weird.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that was, like, that's 2 years ago, 3 years ago. That was prime Deshaun Watson. Like, he was just coming into his own. He was a MVP candidate. He shouldn't have to do that, you know?
He went all the way back to him at Clemson, too.
Right.
Like, they had, like, people come back. People were saying, oh, it was only back when he was in college.
Right. Right, yeah. And I just don't get, I don't know, why he, I feel like any football player can go to a club and most likely he'll at least have a chance with a girl that he wants to talk to. Especially when you're Deshaun Watson, you're national champion or whatever, Heisman, all that, you know, and he just.
It's such an oddly specific form of like.
Yeah.
Like he's into the hand. He likes hand rape. It's very odd. The whole thing is.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Like,
he's.
Why don't you force someone to give you a hand job? Those are all.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's. yeah, it's. I think the Browns fans, I'm not blaming them because, like I said, he was a top five MVP candidate like 3 years ago. But when they found out they were getting Deshaun Watson, I feel like they were put in this position of like, well, he's really good, so I want to be happy. But also, we are now the rapist franchise. So that just happened to us.
Yeah, but for the Browns, I mean, I feel like if you're the Browns, you'll take whatever you can get, dude. Like, yeah. as long as you can win some games,
right?
Like,
yeah, I think they saw that opportunity that, like, you know, he was at a low, obviously, with everything happening, and they were like, all right, so we could just swoop right in and get this guy, right? Like, he's still, yeah. I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like for sports, maybe I'm a bad person, but I could totally separate the sport. Like, if Vladimir Putin was just, like, the best quarterback of all time, and he wanted to come to Chicago and win some rings, I'd be like, good, sign him up.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah,
I don't
give a fuck. Yeah, it's separating.
Darts. Let's go.
It's separating the art from the artist. You have to do it in music a lot too.
Are you allowed to watch like Woody Allen movies? Can you listen to Billy, you know, Michael Jackson? It's all the age old.
Right. That was actually, there was, my fiance and I were driving to Wisconsin and Ted Nugent came on, Stranglehold. One of the coolest songs, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, and she was like, oh, turn this off. I hate Ted Nugent. I was like, what? Why? She's like, he's an asshole. Because we're both in the animal field and he's a big hunter. So she was like, he's an asshole. Turn it off. I was like, all right, cool. Turned it off. And then a few songs later, Michael Jackson came on and she starts like singing along to it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So hunting, bad. Child abuse, green light? Like, what do we do?
That's hilarious. That's like a perfect.
Yeah. But.
Bit right there. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Speaking of my bit, I haven't done stand-up in years. Years. I just, there was the COVID, and then there was, I started, you know, we started a family, I had a baby. Do you think, and I've asked comedians this before, but do you think there's a window for stand, like, or, like, I'm about to be 30 in 2 weeks. If I just start doing open mics and stuff like that, like, is it...
Is your question because you're gonna be 30 in 2 weeks? Is the window closed on stand up? Absolutely not, bro. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I just
I know a guy that started comedy at 38. Now I wouldn't recommend that, but yeah. He started comedy at 38, and he's a fucking killer, dude. He tours around and still, like, yeah, no, that's, I mean, dude, that is absolutely silly. Of course not. I mean, and you're in Chicago, dude. Like,
yeah,
fucking. There's a bunch of mics. I know a billion Chicago comics. When we get done with it, I'll send you over some guys. Like, if you ever want to go check some shows out, hit some mics. You know, I know a whole bunch of cool dudes out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and that's also the only way that people ask me all the time. That's like maybe some one of the most common asked questions. Like, I'll have like someone will reach out to me like, hey, I saw this video or hey, I saw your show tonight. Question, like, I'm an aspiring comedian. Any advice on how to get started? I'm like, yeah, dude. If you can spell your own name and you can go to a fucking open mic and write it on a piece of paper, you're booked, baby. You're a comic. Let's go. Like, that's the only way to do it is to just start doing it. Like,
right. Well, yeah, I think it's, I have the, I don't have the mindset that, like, I'm going to be big right away. I know it takes a lot of time. So that's why I was asking about the window. Like, if I start at 30, you know, I think there are people that have been doing it for 20 plus years, and it's like, they don't make it. So that's, part of me is wondering that, but then also part of me is, I just want to make people laugh. I kind of don't care if the fame comes with it. Like, I'm okay if I don't make a career from my stand-up. Part of me is okay just doing it as a hobby, because I really just enjoy making people laugh, and I think that's something that... I have in common with every comedian. I'm assuming that's why they get into the business.
Yeah, well, then, I mean, so if the goal is to go up and make people laugh, then there's definitely no time clock.
Yeah.
Or window closing on that. But I mean, here's the thing: like, job, new baby. You know, I mean, those are things that'll definitely take a lot of time from it. So I mean, you could approaching comedy one of a couple ways. I remember when I first got into it, I had like a real busy 50-hour week job, you know, and then it was about 6-7 months into comedy. I was like, well, I like this. I was young. I didn't really have any responsibilities or anything, so it was easy for me. I was like, well, I'm gonna quit this job and I'll just go like wait tables or something.
Mm-hmm.
Something with a more flexible schedule, or I can maybe take some nights off and then throw myself more into comedy. So I did that. And I know some guys that have like crazy careers and kids and stuff, and they can't go at it full time, but still, if even those guys, like, I know a lot of friends who are like, man, I just, they get up a couple times a month, they have very busy lives, and they're like, yeah, I don't think just by doing it 3-4 times a month, I'll get like some Netflix special, but
yeah,
they enjoy it. Also, certain opportunities arise where they get to open up or do a cool show here. It's because they like it. It's fun, you know?
Yeah.
The reality is, I mean, even for everyone that's going at it full time, the sad reality is, like, less than 1% of those people will, in whatever way you, terms you put making it is, but, like, you know, it doesn't happen. Not everyone gets a Netflix special, you know? So,
right.
But that shouldn't, if you like comedy, it shouldn't deter you from doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. So I think, yeah, if I go back into it, which I'm hoping I will someday, I'm gonna have the mindset like, you know, this is a hobby. This is something that I enjoy doing. No pressure. But you know, there'll be that part in the back of my mind that's like, also though, all it takes is one clip to go viral, and then boom, thousands of followers, and who knows what else.
Yeah. Also, there's, I mean, there's so many other ways. You know, I mean, like even like with this podcast. I mean, if you can. All you have to do is get people to be fans, you know what I'm saying, right. So to say. So, you know, just people to like Joe. So as a personality, you know, a podcast or stand-up or a mixture of both, and yep. Both of them can also help feed each other, you know, the other avenues. So it's like if you're kind of plugging along, doing some stand-up and just having fun with it. Also, it's fun to, like, get good at something, you know what I'm saying? Like. I remember, like, when I first started playing guitar, like, I'm not gonna be a rock star, but, like, it's fun to, like, kind of not master something, obviously, but, like, get good at something, you know?
Yeah.
So, you kind of hone a fun craft and stand up, and you start getting out there, and that's another thing, too, man. Through stand up, you never know who you'll get to meet. You'll get to meet other people, maybe some, you know, you can get some people on a podcast and have a following, stuff like that, and the podcast takes off. So, I mean, you never know, but if you don't do anything, then it's a certainty that nothing will come from it. You know,
true.
Sick, so.
Miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, Matt, thank you so much for doing this. I'm just going to wrap this up, but I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you taking the time. I apologize for the connection issues. I'm not going to, honestly, not going to try to hide it. Like, my internet, fucking T-Mobile. It's that, you know.
Also, before you go, one quick question for the host here. You ever have that Rico Bene sandwich?
It's a
fried steak sandwich. It's called Rico Bene's in Chicago.
No, I know what that is. I just, no, I haven't. I've never had it. I wish I had.
It's very good.
Yeah?
I got a buddy of mine who's in Chicago at Lalo right now, and I sent him over to get it. He's going to go get it today. But yeah, dude, because I lived in Chicago, I'd never had it. Like, the whole time I was living there, grew up there. And I was back there doing shows recently, and someone had told me about it. And the place of business is like 1948. I'm like, how the fuck have I never?
I've heard of it. I've definitely heard the name, but I've never actually been there. It's when it comes to food, I kind of just stick with what I know. Like,
for sure.
You know, the pizza is normally gonna be good, no matter like whether it's Aurelio's or Baracco's or Palermo's or Giordano. Like, it's gonna be good. Portillo's is a home run all the time. Yeah. So,
you know, people don't believe me when I tell people this. People don't believe that Chicago has some of the best Mexican food you can get.
Yeah.
People never believe
it. Yeah, yeah.
It rules.
I mean, the 2 a.m. trips to El Gallo, even, I mean, that might have been a combination of like.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That might have been a combination of it being 2 a.m. and I was, you know, hammered, but also, it's just good. It's just good food.
Very good, fast, cheap.
Yeah.
There was an El Gallo. I lived in Lakeview, and there's an El Gallo Bravo.
Yeah.
That wasn't that far. Also, there's this place called La Bisnaga that was open till like fucking 3 a.m., I think. It's
okay.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, I do love the food scene here. I think I would take Chicago food over Texas food, and that is, Texas had some fine establishments. I miss Whataburger, I do. But, you know, we got Culver's here. That's like essentially Whataburger. But,
yeah, Whataburger's fine. It's good. I think Chicago over Texas. Texas has some killer barbecue, but you can't eat barbecue. Like, I max out on barbecue. Like, I'm done for the month. I can't even look at barbecue. Like,
right. Oh, yeah.
Everyone has to give me fucking ribs, dude. Like, they're great, but, yeah, it's not as, like, I don't know. I love Chicago. I can't wait to go back. I was just there a couple weeks ago. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, have you been watching The Bear?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the first season. I haven't seen season two yet.
Yeah.
Have you gotten the beef there at Mr. Beef?
I mean, I've had plenty of beef sandwiches around Chicago, not Mr. Beef.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I'm coming to think of it, I'm not 100% sure if I'm being totally
it's really
honest.
It's where they film the show The Bear. It's an actual restaurant in Chicago called Mr. Beef.
Oh.
It's like an operating restaurant. You can literally get a fucking beef sandwich, and it literally, it's crazy. You walk in, and it looks just like the fucking place.
And I think that's how you know it's going to be, like, good food. Like, obviously, this isn't gourmet shit, but it's just going to be really good food. Like, the types of menus where it's, like, the individual letters you have to put on the menu, you know, and, like, they're kind of, like, the light shining. I don't know. Can't really describe. You can get that feel though, like when you walk in there and you're like, all right, this is just about the food, you know? Oh shit.
It's on
Oh, there you are.
It's 666. It's on 666 North Orleans Street.
Oh,
It's in like
okay.
River. It's in like River North. Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's.
They got good beef. You can only get a beef. It's crazy because you're sitting in there and you're like, holy shit, this is where they filmed The Bear. It's wild. Like, it
Right.
looks just like it.
Yeah, that's consider it on the bucket list. That you just gave me two great fucking suggestions. I can't wait to try them now.
Venice is a better sandwich for sure, but go to Mr. Beef. Because like I said, anyone that's like a fan of the show, like, yeah, go check it out.
All right, I know why I didn't recognize Rico Bene's effort, because I think people call it Rica Beans sometimes.
Maybe Rica Beans, yeah.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I'd never had it until I was there a couple weeks ago. They have it. It's like what they're famous for. It's a fried steak sandwich. It fucking rules.
hell yeah, I love that. I love that. I'm a big foodie, so I love being in Chicago
Well,
or
you're in the right city for it
Tinley
too.
Park, whatever. But semantics. Anyway.
Really enjoy that whole same game. I enjoy the game tonight. Let me
Yeah,
down as always. And it
definitely.
was a fucking pleasure, man.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Was there anything you wanted to plug before we head out?
Yeah, just check out the just dope the tour I'm on. It's called the Dope City Comedy Tour.
Hell yeah.
Or so it's me and my buddy Tim Hanlon. So you can just all platforms, Dope City Comedy, posting some tour dates. We're going out to Florida, Arizona. We got some Texas shows booked, and a lot more to announce for the fall here. So dopecitycomedy.com and then all platforms Matt Bellick.
Hell yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you so much, and hope to catch you next time you're in Chicago.
Appreciate it, homie.
All right. Have a good one. All right, everybody, and we are back to wrap up episode 76 of Feel Good Friday, wrapping it up burrito style. I've had my weekly Chipotle visit. It was a hell of a good burrito. Definitely appreciated every bite of that till the very end. Oh, very satisfying. Very satisfying. Burrito for me, Chipotle for me, happy meal for McDonald's for Finn. We're just a happy duo right there. I'm the big kahuna, he's the little kahuna. I'm tater salad, he's tater tot. And we're just going to keep on living. LIVIN, baby. That's what we're going to do, which is a quote from Dazed to Confused. Not to bring it back to the intro, but it is. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed that interview. I know I did. I apologize for the lagging, the buffering, the loss of connection twice throughout it. Kudos to you if you caught it. Points. Points. You get some points. But yeah, T-Mobile was just trying to really just bend me over a barrel, show me the 50 states, and just give it to me. I'm talking balls slapping against the cheeks, you know what I mean? Like, in there. I don't know why. It's been perfectly fine today. Granted, the day is still young. It is early morning. Finn isn't even awake yet, and I'm recording this to finish it up and get this episode out because you deserve it. You deserve another episode, and you deserve to hear about Matt Bellick. He's a great comedian. So I want to spread joy. One of the ways I do that now, sorry, clear my throat. I had a Pop-Tart earlier. No biggie. Very healthy. 2023. Beach season. Actually, it's already August. Fuck. It's my birthday month. But my birthday month also means that summer is almost over. However, that means that fall is on the way, baby. So look forward to that. Anyway. I like spreading joy. I know I mentioned in there, I just like to make people laugh. That's a goal of mine. Whether it's one person, multiple people, crowd of people, whoever, stranger, someone I know, someone I love, whatever. I like making people laugh. I very, very much enjoy it. So that's another reason I do this podcast. I hope that you get some enjoyment out of it. I hope that it's a way that you can turn it off for a minute, whether it's on your drive to work or whether you're at work, you're working, you got your headphones in, whether you're at home, you're doing house chores, whether you're just listening to it to go to sleep, whatever you want. I hope you listen to it and you enjoy it. You get some sense of joy from it. And, also the thing I do is, yeah, I promote myself and I want people to know about me. But I like bringing on these comedians, whether they are well-known already or whether they're not so well-known. Like, that Connor Carter only has, he has under 2,000 followers, which, don't get me wrong, I don't even have 500 followers. So that's a bunch, you know, in my eyes. But compared to Joe Fenty, who's at like 160K, Kyle Kinane, all screws, like all that. I like bringing people that I think can bring joy to people as well, somewhat to the light, at least to the light of the handful of listeners for this podcast. So it's what I enjoyed doing. I'll tell you what, another thing that brings me joy, or at least brought me joy, well, still brings me joy if I want to rewatch it, Ted Lasso. I don't think I've talked about Ted Lasso on here that much. Ted Lasso brings me so much joy. Brought me some. All three seasons, start to finish, were fantastic in my opinion. I really, really loved them. It's just this, it's this feel-good comedy that has some real moments in it. And the moments that are real, they kind of hit home, you know, and they get you. And it's not too cheesy. Like, don't get me wrong, there's some cheesiness to it. Like, there's a Christmas episode where Santa flies across the sky, and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? Come on. Let's calm down a little bit. But most of the times, it balances the feel-good, heartwarming shit with, like, the, you know, it's also about a football team in the UK. So it's like, fucking bollocks. So it's not necessarily, like, a Disney show feel-good, cheesy shit. But it's this nice balance that I really, really appreciated. And I tell you what, I am going to miss it. I know Jason Sudeikis got an Emmy for it. I'm sure it won other awards. And if it didn't, God damn it, it should have. It's a fantastic piece of work. All three seasons. And I was bummed that they cut it off at three seasons. You know, What We Do in the Shadows is on season five. And, you know, they're still funny as ever. The thing was, the creator of Ted Lasso cut it off at three seasons because he said, the downfall of every great show is it going on too long. Or some such shit like that, you know. Which, it's a good point. There are a lot of shows that have gone on way too long. They go past their prime, and then people start to fall out. It starts to get a bad rap. Like that last season of Game of Thrones, people hated it. The ending of Dexter, people hated it. Weeds went on too long, in my opinion. So, and Weeds is one of my favorite shows, but I am able to recognize that that went on too long. It got really weird. So I appreciate the move from the creator to be like, all right, we're done at three. That's, we've made our mark, you know, people know the show, people love the show, but, we're going to cut it off at three. It's a respectable move. Absolutely. Do I wish they made another one? Yeah, sure. If they made a movie, that'd be fucking, I would love a Ted Lasso movie. I don't know what the movie would be because, and spoiler alert, I'm saying that now because last time I said spoiler alert, I like said the spoiler before I said spoiler alert, which defeats the purpose of alerting people of a spoiler. So spoiler alert now, at the end of Ted Lasso, he moves back to America and he no longer coaches the soccer team, or sorry, the football team, FUTBOL. But, yeah, so that's how that one ends. So I don't know where they would go if they did a movie. I don't know if he would coach an MLS team or maybe coach his kids' team. And, like, the AFC Richmond, they came over to America and, like, hung out for a bit. Like, if there was maybe, like, Ted Lasso, like, gets married and there's a wedding episode. I don't know. I'm really not sure. But I would love a movie of it. There were talks of a spinoff, whether it be about Roy Kent or Jamie Tartt. I wouldn't mind that at all. So there are several things they could do that I'm sure I'd be, ooh, damn. Ugh, gross. Okay. There are several things they can do that I'm sure I would watch. I would tune into. It's like the NBA season, the mid-season tournament. Like, yeah, I don't necessarily think we need it. But I'm going to tune in because I'm a fan. That's what fans do. They tune into the shit that they love. So thank you for tuning into this. I very much appreciate it, whether you're a fan or whether you just stumbled upon this and you're like, well, what's this one about? If you just stumbled upon this and this is your first episode, first off, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. I'm your host. I'm Joe Kruger. Really charming, handsome guy. Big ol' Wang. I'm just kidding. It's not that big at all. But confidence is key, right? Fake it till you make it. I got a big dick. Anyway, thank you for tuning in, and hope this episode wasn't too rough. Hope I didn't just lose you with all the dick comments I just made right there. I apologize if I did, if that was too crass, too crude. But, you know, sometimes I just got to bring it up. And I don't know why I bring it up, because it's really not that impressive. And now I'm falling back into this hole. Thank you for tuning in. If you're a longtime fan, thank you for tuning in. Episode 76, I had a blast with Matt Bellick. That was great. And we are going to keep on chugging. Episode 77 comes next, because that's how numbers work. Appreciate you. And I appreciate life. And that is not that great of a sign-off line, but God damn it, I'm working on it. And I thought I had it right there for a split second. I was like, this might be good. And then I realized once I actually said it that it wasn't good. So I'm just going to sign off. I'm going to cut my losses. You know, I'm not going to try to push my luck, and I'm going to call it quits for now, just for this episode. Don't worry. Episode 77 is on the way, and it should be good because it's my podcast and all my episodes are good. All right, y'all. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Stay sexy. All that stuff. It is my birthday month, so if you want to Venmo me some money for some beer, you know, that'd be cool. And I just said that out loud, and I'm, you know, like right away, I'm like, wow, why are you saying this? Kind of sounds like a scumbag thing to say. I'm not one of those girls that's like, Venmo me for a drink. It's my birthday. But apparently I'm giving it a shot. So maybe literally, you know what I mean? Giving it a shot. Alcohol, like booze, like tequila or whiskey or God damn it. Can't get this thing right. All right. Fuck it. We'll do it live. One more note, people. Sorry. Just got to get this off before. This is episode 76. In the beginning of the episode, I talked about Days Confused because it's the summer of 76. I should have talked about the Philadelphia 76ers because I'm a big sports fan in Philadelphia. 76ers, that's their team. I didn't take the opportunity to talk about them. I had a golden opportunity, and I waited until right now. And there's a good chance that a lot of you aren't even listening still. So, if you are listening, there's no joke, got no story. I'm just episode 76, Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, that's what I got for you. Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey. Yeah. All right, I'm done.